not mine.
So if you will, say, Lord Jesus, I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. And my heart is perceiving. This message is also for me. Amen. So, I had a time with the Lord during the night, and I had a dream, and I'm not ready for sharing the dream part yet, and took time to intercede for the one that was in the dream. Then I woke up around 6:45, because the dream came at 2:29, so not going to go there. But the anointing was still on me at 7-ish. And I saw the power of control. And once you submit to a form of control, you end up releasing yourself to something that's controlling you. On Sunday, I shared about having been, let's say, delivered from a 3-pack-a-day controlling spirit of smoking. And that, by the way, that lasted 20 years. But the Lord delivered me. But you see, you have to know that you're bound or have a negative force that's using you. And smoking is one of them. I had a history of watching my mother in and out of mental institutions for 17 years. And because of her belief system, which relates to you, she believed that no matter what was done to her, she could not divulge the information, even if it was abusive behavior. So therefore, she was in and out of mental institutions and psychiatric offices, etc., 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 for 17 years. When Holy Ghost came in, the Holy Spirit used me and used her to do some repenting about some of the things that she had learned and actually believed. But then she was set free. Never went back to the institutions. Never went back to alcohol or drugs. And she had a normal life after that. I can tell you that her family, like yours, put everything under the carpet. That was the way you operated. So this morning, I'm watching myself under an anointing of control. And I said, Lord, what is this? And I'm angry. And he said, retaliation. I said, retaliation? I don't get it. He said, a spirit of retaliation is controlling you. So I'll read to you a little bit of my notes, and then we're going to try to bring you to a journey to understand what is happening. You had a happening of your sister and you being flooded with some new truth, freeing you from the old thought patterns of everyone in the family knew and everybody would know that you were this and that. But in truth, you were the one that was deceived, correct? But the control force still went forward. All right. So I heard, when I was no longer in control, it controlled me. It was retaliating against me. So I said, Holy Spirit, I do not want this spirit to do this again. And I know this is not me. It's from hell. And I went, I want out. I want it out. And I can't do it. I asked you, Lord Jesus, to get the roots of this spirit, and all the tares that have grown from those seeds, and please send your angels to clean this up and burn the tares, and to make sure that all the roots are pulled out. In Jesus' name I pray. So, later on, when I was able to kind of look at what was going on, of course, this is my little addition to the Bible, which is the Paul Keith Davis Thrones of Your Soul, which I know some of you have already read several times. And I heard, I want you to go to page 84. So I'm going to take you with me to page 84.
Interesting you picked that book from. Dee asked me to get her a copy of that book. I went on Paul Keith Davis' website, and I couldn't place an order. It wouldn't let me.
Uh-huh.
So I go over to Amazon. Do you know how much money they wanted for that book? Are you ready? $768.
No.
Oh, $768 for a book?
And that's why I thought, okay, it must be a misprint. I'll look under the new used.
Yeah.
They wanted $35. I said, something's wrong here. Somebody has got it, this book. So I finally placed a call to Paul Keith's store.
Yeah.
And just before I left, they called me, and I said, your website wouldn't let me order the book. He said, okay, and he placed the order for me. I was very thankful.
Very good.
But it's interesting you picked that. So anyway, it's ordered, dude. But that's, can you believe that? 760?
Well, I think John Becker ran into something similar when he wanted a copy of the one that was done that I shared on the other day. And it was something of $700 or $800 for a book.
I'm wondering now if Amazon is gone in to certain...
I don't know. I don't know. But I want to take you to page 84. And it starts with, clearly this is not implying that we abandon foundational truths, but rather the tendency to mold fresh outpourings of His Spirit into old methods and techniques with which we are accustomed. We sometimes become comfortable with the familiar, and it can easily become a crutch. Holy Spirit is preparing a company of pioneers. Try that one on for size. Say, the Holy Spirit, is preparing a company of pioneers. Now, what are pioneers? They don't always drive Conestoga wagons. Pioneers who will advance over to the deep things of God and demonstrate them to this generation. So that confirmed to me, I could hide under that blanket of early morning, seeing a spirit of retaliation using a control tactic that it had done, and then make believe it didn't happen and call on the blood and say, I'm all set and I'm free. But I'm not free.
Amen.
Not at that point.
I can relate to them.
Okay? So, a pioneer is one who opens or prepares the way for others to follow. Try that one on for size. Say,
a pioneer
is a person who opens or prepares the way for others to follow. Because Jesus wants us all free. Amen? Now get a close on this one, because this next piece is great. They will be exemplified in a John the Baptist type of ministry. These will be a voice of another and will know the reality of Jeremiah 33:3. By calling upon him to show us great and mighty things which we do not presently know. This process will establish the royal priesthood, prophetically illustrated in Zechariah 3, and the transformation of the Joshua, the high priest. The Lord Jesus is the head, and we are to be his body and must be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Psalm 132, verse 9. Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with the price of apples? A lot. You see, when revelation begins to work in you, and the spirit of revelation brings you to an awareness of something about yourself, you can, like I said, cover it up, make believe it didn't happen, or you can spread it out there. Because when you spread it out there, you'll be now giving a recipe of how to make a free person even freer. Because you may be free by the words you say, but if you still have control forces using you and you can't change it, then you need help. And I could go on to share about the scriptures that Jesus gave us about the tares and the wheat, but I don't think it's the right moment right now to go there, because I want you to see how this works with what's happening in our country right now and in all of us. The giants in the land is the next focus. The enemies that inhabited the promised land are the strongholds and dominions existing in our soul that must be overcome through the appropriation of the blood of Christ and his victory. These enemies are too great for us in our own strength. Got a clue? Yeah. Say, some of this stuff is way too big for me. These enemies are too great for us in our own strength, just as the inhabitants of the promised land were too great for Israel to defeat. Without the Lord's supernatural intervention. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14 says he sends his angels to minister and to help you. Well, I'm sure the enemy sent many of his demons to overwhelm you over these years. And if you're like me, you got caught by some of them. And you became a slave to some of them. And when you see that slavery for what it is really retaliation against you. Because you see, he accuses that you're the bad guy. Romans 7 says the old is now passed away. And Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So where's the truth? Why are you picking on yourself? I teased the other day because I find that we all have different weaknesses. And those weaknesses will not be conquered until we get serious. And when we get serious, the help is available. It's not because it's not available. It is available. So, you know, I'm going to repeat, Israel needed supernatural intervention. Although 10 of the spies returned with evil reports, it remained the decision of the people to choose which report to believe. That's your point right there. When you were sharing earlier, and you were saying that you didn't go to family gatherings because you had a belief. And that belief kept you from many experiences that you were stolen from. Correct? They could have chosen to believe the faithful report of Joshua and Caleb. In so doing, they would have experienced the great power of the captain of the Lord's host. Those are angels, right? And enjoy the fullness of their promise. So it is with us today. Although the strongholds and worldliness in us seems insurmountable, worldly control tactics, if you wish, the Lord has pledged in his word that we have the precious and magnificent promises by which we can become partakers of the divine nature. By which we can become process with progress. Amen? And escape the corruption of this world and its lusts. Our part is in yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing this work to be realized. Now, that means humble pie. You see, when you decide that you can't change yourself, what you're doing is you're doing exactly the opposite of what Adam and Eve did. They were given a free will decision by Satan, and they chose to flow with him because they thought they could do a better job with this new counselor, because the one that they were involved with demanded relationship and wanted relationship. But if they chose to go with the enemy, they could do for themselves. So they made the choice and the lights went out. And I could go on. That's not where I'm going. What I am saying is demonic help is available to all of us. And we can submit ourselves to go deeper if we want to. Every one of us has choices. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So when we make that choice, God is saying to us, look, you have chosen to allow this retaliation to manifest such as you've watched for years and think it's normal or believe it's normal. This past weekend, my wife and I were taking care of our great-grandchildren. We had three of them, and there's a six-year-old and a seven-year-old. And they decided after supper that they were going to do the horsing around stuff. Well, that doesn't go over too well with the grandmother or me. So obviously we tried to bring some control tactics. Well, the little girl is seven and she walked by her brother and she literally gave him a kick, making believe that it didn't really happen. Of course, you girls never did that. And the boy, of course, decided that he was going to teach her a lesson. And there went the retaliation. So he hit her back. Grandma gets involved. And, of course, Grandpa's trying to be quiet. Because if Grandpa gets involved, then we're all in trouble. Long story short, I listened from afar. Because I kept going. Lord, there's enough one yelling. We don't need two. Correct? So let her finish what she needs to do. So it continued for about 12 minutes, and they finally, one of them usually ends up crying because, you know, they push a little bit too hard. And as I'm listening to the Lord, and he's showing me retaliation, he said, did anybody train them and give them lessons on how to retaliate?
Just knew how to do it.
Yeah. And if you ask them who did it, oh, I did it. See, it's always the other one's fault. Who teaches them how to lie? See, and it goes down the line. And it looks innocent. And you try to brush it under the rug because then when time to bring them home, you know, how were they? Well, there was a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I said, we all survived. So the mother said, well, I was hoping that they would have a good report. I said, well, you know, it's not a real bad report. So I said, no, we'll go with the game here. But it wasn't time to expose. It's time to rebuild and survive. Because after all, they were tired. When they're tired, it's like any kid. Don't push the buttons too far. You're going to make it worse. Yeah. Okay? Now, when we learn to hold the line on something, we begin a work of trying not to let this continue. And you can put the law down, you can make threats, you can do this, you can do that, and it only works until they get a chance to do it again when nobody's looking. But did that spirit of retaliation get dealt with at that point?
No.
It has not been exposed to the degree that the person that's involved is willing to do something about it. So when I was going over my notes again, I'm saying, okay, This is the word I heard when I was no longer in control. It controlled me. Holy Spirit, I do not want this spirit to do this again. Now that's a threat to darkness. Because you're putting your will into the situation. You're saying, I'm not. I don't care. I'll survive. Excuses will not work with you when you're not honest about how you feel. You need to speak what's in your heart concerning the situation, and Holy Spirit is listening. Holy Spirit is not without the help of all those angels available to you. So, what happened is as I repented and asked God to give me grace and to pull out the roots, I know He's doing it. Why? Because believing I have received, it will be done unto me. Mark 11, 24. Believing that it will be done unto me. So you see, the coordinates to graduate from bondage to freedom is up to me and up to you. It's not something that somebody else is going to do the homework for you. It is going to be up to me and up to you. When I was dealing with different individuals having different forms of bondage, I had a hard time with, you know, can it really be a demon using a person? You know, and I questioned. Now, this is many, many years ago, over 30 for sure, and I'm dealing with a young person. And I'm sitting in my chair behind my desk, and this person is sitting here in the chair in the corner. And this is a young man. He's confessing a weakness that he's got, and he's sharing it. And I'm just trying to support and listen, but listen with my spirit instead of my head. You see, if you go to a regular counselor, he's going to be equipped with the books he studied and head knowledge from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay? That's what he's got. What I've got is Holy Ghost. That's an ace in a hole. Okay? So I'm praying in the Spirit. And as I'm praying in the Spirit with my eyes wide open, focused on him, all of a sudden his face changed. His whole face became contorted. And he looked what you and I would call a gnome. A demon spirit literally manifested right on top of him. And I said, okay, Lord, what do I do with this? And the Lord said, address it. So I did. And what's your name? He gave me his name. I said to the young man, I said, I want you back and I want to know if you want to keep that spirit. And he says, I don't want it. I want to get rid of it. I said, okay. So we prayed and we repented and asked God to forgive him. And now he realized that it wasn't him. We get done with that. I said, how are you doing? Oh, he says, I feel better. I said, good. He said, well, I got this other corner. Okay. So I said, well, that's up to you. We got time if you want to go deeper. So we continued. This time, the Lord showed me the second demon. And we went that way for three. The total, the emptiness of what happened and all that good stuff. We asked God to fill him with grace and favor and mercy. So you see, when I heard the spirit of retaliation, I have a mental picture of what God showed me years ago that I'll never forget as long as I live. Because I've seen what those spirits can do to people. Now, if you say, well, there's problems everywhere. Crystal Lake has problems, right? Nobody's dealing with it. Why? Because nobody's got discernment to see what kind of demons are running that whole township, if you wish, or neighborhood. Okay? And I could go on with telling you that your battle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. But what I can tell you is after you have experienced something like this, you get a clue about maybe you need more help than you ever did. Amen. Now, your seat belts are nice and tight. I get a phone call 10 days later. And the young man is crying. He said, life is so boring, I want my demons back. Don't stop breathing. You got to keep breathing. Come on. I want my demons back. I said, well, you realize scripture says that there'll be seven others that'll come and it'll get worse. I don't care. And it was with a boisterous, loud response. And I said, okay, I'm just releasing you back to the Lord. And I said, Holy Spirit, you've got a job to do. And I can't clean him up. Did you hear me? The pioneers can't do it. Jacob had help from the Lord to clean up the mountain. Same thing happening now. So I didn't hear from the young man for about 11 years. I get a letter put on my desk, and this is approximately 2000. And I begin to read the letter, and it's from the young man. And the tears are falling all over the letter, declaring that not only is he free, but now is freeing others in Puerto Rico. Several days later, he showed up at church and we bawled together. Holy Spirit is faithful. Even if you change your mind and go back to what you were, or bound to what you were bound to, God's grace and mercy is sufficient to take you through, because you're a pioneer. And a pioneer may have a different variation, but you will get to the promised land. That's what he wants. The promised land is loaded with freedom. And that promised land is paid for by our Savior Jesus Christ. But the big mistake is made when people rely upon themselves. They rely on their own ability. They rely in their own capacity. They rely on doing the work, and it doesn't work. It backfires. Take a deep breath right now. I gave you quite a bit of material. But what I want you to remember is when God's Holy Spirit begins a healing, he doesn't quit until it is all done. Your choice to continue is your free will. You can stop anywhere that you find that you can't go any further, and you decide that's as far as you want to go. He will respect that. But if you decide that you go deeper, you're going to have to be submissive in a different way. And when you see yourself being abused or accused or used, I don't care which corner that you're talking about, you have the ability to cry out for the Lord. You have the ability to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I know that I made a mistake. I believed the lie. I believed their lies. I believe whatever lies they were. Help me to get through to the victory. I want you to take a deep breath right now. Again, let it go. Just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I know these that are here tonight, and you chose this snowy night. You're the one that created this moment. And I'm asking for the grace and the favor of Holy Spirit to take us to a full victory that only you can provide. I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. I give you all the glory as you continue to take us into a much higher realm than we've ever been before. I give you praise and I give you the glory as you heighten this message so that Jesus himself made a prophetic promise that Elijah is coming and will restore all things. Furthermore, he acknowledged that Elijah had already come. The Lord was clearly pointing to the prophetic promise of Malachi 4 concerning this noble anointing. And his disciples ask him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came. And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. Matthew 17, verses 10 through 13. Naturally, the disciples understood that he was referring to John the Baptist as they regarded the past expressions of this prophetic mandate. The scripture plainly points out that this prophet was anointed with the spirit and power of Elijah. According to the commission announced through Gabriel, John was to direct the hearts of the fathers to the children. He was to point the hearts of the fathers of Israel to the birthing of a new thing. It was a new beginning for the covenant people of God. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of their children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. There will be a subsequent release of this anointing that will accomplish the remainder of the prophetic admonition and restore the hearts of the children to the fathers. That is the restoration of a company of people to the heart of devotion and dedication resident in our apostolic fathers. This outpouring will immediately precede God's judgment that will be burning like an oven, consuming the proud and the arrogant. Peter also foresaw and wrote of this day. According to Malachi, the enemies of God will be like stubble, fully consumed as ashes under the feet of the righteous. This has not yet been fulfilled, but it will be. The spirit of Elijah is a ministry of preparation and restoration. And I'll leave it there. Say, Holy Spirit, I heard the words. Confirm it to me. I don't want to miss this. Because you've got a plan to set me free from every dark force that got its paws on me. And I want them out. I want them out now. And I'm willing to repent. But I need the grace and the angels to do a work that I've tried to do on my own. And it was wrong. I didn't realize it. But I realize it now. With your help, Holy Spirit, you will clean this house up. And it will become a habitation for my God. For the seven spirits of God are willing to come to a clean house. Help me to get it clean, Lord. And give me the grace every step of the way. I admit I can't do this. But I know you're available. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your favor to do this work quickly. In Jesus' name, I pray.